Hello and welcome to the programme. You can visit the website anytime you like, rte.ie/Mooney. So we've got a wonderful programme ahead of us tonight. Can you hear that wonderful sound in the background there? Can you make out what it is? Sounds like birds, sounds like a bit of buzzing of bees. Could you combine them, do you think? Sounds to me like a bird called the bee eater. Well, several of them, a flock of them. Let's find out. Let's say hello to our panel now, starting with Richard Collins out in Malahide. Richard.
Hello, Derek. Nice to hear you and the bee eater.
And now to the land of medieval cities, alpine villages and Mediterranean beaches. It's known as the land of bread and cheese too. It's Niall Hatch in the south of France. Where exactly are you, Niall?
I'm in a place called Mondelou-la-Napoule, which is just to the west of Cannes, where my late father lived for many years. So I like to come down here sometimes and just sort of go do the things I used to do with him down here. It's a nice sort of trip down memory lane for me. And another trip down memory lane was that sound that you just played, mm-hmm. because I've been hearing that a lot. That is indeed the sound of beaters flying overhead. And migration is underway at the moment. And I was fortunate enough over the last few days actually to hear quite a few of those beaters flying over. And it's that sound that first draws the attention. So when you know that sound, you hear this chattering in the sky, you see these amazing birds flying over. And beaters, they are something else. They have the most incredible silhouette. They look a little bit like a swallow, I suppose, a bit bigger than that, but more sort of pointed wings. And rather than having a forked tail, they have a sort of very triangular tail with a sort of a long, like toothpick almost, that sticks out of the middle of it. So it's very unusual. But then also the colour of these birds. It's almost like you went to, I don't know, like a junior infant's school classroom and just asked them to colour in a bird any way they want. The most fantastic colours they can think of. Get all their crayons out, scribble all over the page. That's what a beater looks like. Chestnut brown on the head, a bit of chestnut in the wings, the flash of green, lemon yellow on the throat, turquoise blue down on the belly. Just an incredible looking creature.
It's arguable that the bee eater, our European bee eater, is the most varied coloured bird in the Western Palearctic. It is enormously variable in colour. It has every possible colour under the sun in its plumage. Now, just why it is like that is something of a mystery. Now, it feeds on things like bees. It loves bees, ants, insects that produce poison. Perhaps, what do you think, Niall? Is it that the flesh is distasteful? If the bird is eating these awful poisonous things, does it result in distasteful flesh, which deters predators? Once bitten, twice shy, a predator may not attack a bee eater twice. What do you think?
Well, that's certainly a very interesting theory. It's certainly worth investigating, because certainly bright colours like that in nature, they tend to act as warning signals. If you think of the yellow and black on a bee or on a wasp, ironically the favourite food of the bee eater, that warns off most predators. They won't make that mistake twice. Now, the bee eaters, they have a special biology that allows them to eat that prey, but even then they remove the sting. So whether they're ingesting much of that poison themselves, I'm not sure. What they do is they fly out. They're very adept and very aerobatic. They would grab the insect and take it back in their beaks, and then they often would rub the stinger on a branch or on a stone to break it off, and then they consume the insect. So whether they're getting the poison into their systems, I don't know. They are related to the hoopoe, another flamboyant looking bird, black and white butterfly like wings, a pink body with this crest it raises and lowers on the head, and that is a bird we know is distasteful to predators. Its flesh tastes very, very bad. It's actually mentioned in the book of Leviticus in the Bible as being something that isn't kosher, something that that should not be eaten because it was presumably thought to be maybe poisonous because it tastes and smells so bad. Maybe the bee eater is the same, I'm not sure. Now, there are quite a few different species of bee eaters around the world, particularly the old world. You don't find them in the Americas. You do find them throughout Africa, Asia and Australia. And the situation here, as you said there, Richard, you called it the European bee eater, and it is the only bee eater that occurs across most of Europe. We don't have them in Ireland except as very very rare vagrants. They do turn up very occasionally. Sometimes they can be seen perched on wires. I've never seen one in Ireland myself, I have to say, but some lucky bird watchers have. But we do know that their range has been creeping northwards in Europe over the last few years, to the extent that they've actually bred in recently in southern England. They're a species that nests in similar sort of places to the sand martin, a member of the swallow family, that excavates tunnels, particularly in sandbanks and in old gravel quarries. And the bee eater is associated with these gravel quarries as well. So as the climate changes, and if that continues apace, as it seems unfortunately inevitably will, maybe the bee eater is a bird that could make landfall in Ireland, and then all of a sudden our bees and our wasps will have a new predator to contend with that they've never had to deal with before.
Niall, that's an interesting thing that you should mention. The roller, it's a much larger bird, is also a relative, and rollers sometimes eat snakes. So this penchant for eating poisonous things is part of the larger group to which this bird belongs. But there is something interesting as well. It is the structural coloration. If we take most of our birds, it's pigment added to the white feather that produces color. But in things like bee-eaters and kingfishers and rollers, it's the actual crystalline structure of the feather that gives the colors. An interesting thing about that is that the color changes depending on the angle of the light. So as you will find that some things look red when you look at them front on, and they look blue or green or yellow when you look at them from the side. So this seems to be some kind of trick they are using to change colour, to sort of make themselves invisible or hard to find, perhaps. But it is very interesting that these birds go to the trouble of producing structural coloration.
Yes, I suppose the most familiar or maybe celebrated example of that structural coloration would be in the hummingbirds, those wonderful iridescent colors that they produce, different shades of green predominantly, but also reds and blues and purples. It's absolutely astonishing how they look. With the bee eater, they don't quite glint in the same way as that, but it is structural color nonetheless. In fact, when you see blue in a bird, that's usually the case, and often green as well. The head of a mallard, the familiar duck, the male mallard at least, that bright green, that is also structural coloration. And the interesting thing about that is that when you get those feathers, if you were to get one in experimental conditions, hopefully not still attached to the bird, and to bash it really hard with a hammer, you can actually disrupt the reflective surfaces or refractive surfaces in the microstructures in the feather, and then the feather will just go grey or black. The colour just disappears. It's not pigmentation. Or what can happen, and this is the case in the bee eater and some other species as well, you get a combination of pigmentation and structural coloration bouncing back all sorts of different wavelengths of light that make other colours again. It's far more fantastical than you can even imagine with paint, because that's just pigmentation. And that's one of the reasons why when you see pictures of birds like bee eaters, or maybe a bird like a kingfisher, maybe one that would be more familiar to people at home, and a species that is related, they're in the same sort of general group with the hoopoes and the rollers and so on, a photograph to my eyes never quite captures what those birds really look like. It can get close, but it never quite captures that spark, that glint, that almost that electricity that runs through their feathers. And the bee eater, I think, is a classic example of that.
And we'll make sure that we have a picture of a bee eater on the website now, just so everybody can get a look at one. Now,